Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One day Jesus received kind of an unlikely invitation, an invitation to have dinner at the home of a Pharisee. And while he was there, he told two parables. And both of these parables, these stories that Jesus tells, on the surface they seem to be about behavior at dinner parties. But the thread that ties them both together, that underlies each story, is humility in the presence of God and others. Humility is a difficult thing for us sometimes, and maybe it's especially difficult for us here in our American culture. We live in an unarguably great nation. I mean, just think of the freedoms that we have that so often sometimes we take for granted. We just assume everybody in the world enjoys these same things. We have the freedom to assemble peacefully. We have the freedom to write and to speak without fear of being imprisoned for that. We have the fear to do what we're doing here this morning, to gather and worship our God without fear of persecution from the government. We are an incredibly wealthy nation. And if you still think that we don't have reason for pride as a nation, just look back on the last Olympics we had just a week or so ago. Now, not Ryan Lochte, but the medal count. We won more than twice as many medals as the next nation. We're proud. We're proud collectively, and oftentimes we're proud individually. And as all of that is running through my head again this morning, I'm reminded of this proverb that I learned by heart as a child. Proverbs 16, verse 18. It's one of the more well-known ones. Maybe you know it, and you're going to help me fill in the ending. Pride goes before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I wonder if Jesus himself had that proverb running through his mind as he was sitting down for dinner at this Pharisee's house. Because he began to speak to the people, and he began to give them two reasons why we should turn away from our pride and instead humble ourselves in the presence of God and others. And the first reason Jesus gave is a very practical reason. It's the reason that Dave Riedemann so eloquently illustrated here this morning. Pride can be dangerous for us individually. Pride can have some devastating consequences. And so as Jesus entered the home of this Pharisee, as he sat down, he began to watch as the other people, the other invited guests, were coming for dinner. He noticed how they began to choose the best seats in the house. You see, this wasn't just kind of a casual dinner that he was attending where every seat was kind of equal. This was a formal affair, and certain seats held more honor than others. And sitting in those seats meant that you held more honor than others. So Jesus saw people doing this, and he said to them, look, if you're ever in this situation, you're attending a formal dinner like this, don't take the best seat. Because if you take the best seat in the house, what do you do if someone more honored or important than yourself shows up? See, in your pride, you may be thinking that you're the honored guest, the most important guest there. But what happens if someone more important than you comes? Well, then the host is going to come, and it's going to be this really awkward, uncomfortable situation where the host asks you now to get up and move further down the table. Instead, Jesus says, take the lowest seat. Take the seat that's tucked away back in the corner, the seat that no one in their right mind would want. Then perhaps the host will come and elevate you in the presence of others, move you up. And then Jesus issues this proverb of his own. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The simple truth of this proverb that Jesus tells is that if you exalt yourself, you raise yourself up, you've got nowhere to go except down. But if you lower yourself, if you humble yourself, you've got nowhere to go but up. Jamie and I saw this illustrated at our wedding a little over 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, we were, like many couples, as we were engaged, we were getting ready and making all of these preparations for our wedding, for the ceremony itself, and also for the reception afterwards. And so we sent out RSVPs to our friends and our relatives, those we hoped would attend. And in the months leading up to the wedding, those RSVPs came flooding in, and we decided what we were going to have at our reception were assigned seats. And so we had tables of 10 to work with, and we spent a few hours over a couple nights putting everybody at kind of at the right table, a table we thought they'd be most comfortable at. And like many wedding receptions, we had kind of a simple order for how the seating was to look in the hall itself. So at the kind of in the for the front of the hall, we had the table where the wedding party was sitting, you know, Jamie and I and the rest of our friends. And then kind of right next to them, or next to us in the front row kind of was the seats of honor for our immediate family. Our parents, you know, the grandparents, that sort of thing. And then all around us then were all of the other guests. So we had this all planned out. And then the day before our wedding, we went to the reception hall to set everything up, to put the centerpieces on the table, to put the name cards out, to get everything ready for the big day the next day. But you know what happened when we got there? We realized the owner of the hall had ordered the wrong size tables. He'd given us tables of 8 instead of tables of 10. And all of our careful planning was for nothing. And so later that night, the night before our wedding, we spent another couple hours rearranging all of the tables and getting everything just right. So the next day, the wedding, of course, went off without a hitch. Jamie said, I do. But when we got to the reception hall, we sat down at the head table. We looked up, and there was right in the middle of these places of honor with our parents and our grandparents, our immediate family, a table of Jamie's friends from college. It wound up kind of dead center. Now, they didn't choose that place for themselves. They didn't seek it out for themselves. If you were to ask them, they probably would have preferred to be a little further back out of the limelight, not sitting right next to the bride and groom's parents and family. But the honor was given them nonetheless. Just kind of a small illustration of what Jesus says when he gives this proverb, everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. But at this dinner party of this Pharisee, Jesus didn't just give the practical reason why we should humble ourselves in the presence of God and others. He also gave, I guess what I would say is the foundational reason, the real reason we should humble ourselves in the presence of God and others. You know what it is? The real reason we should humble ourselves in the presence of God and others is that we're not all that, and that's okay. We're not as important, as beautiful, as talented as we think we are, and that's okay. See, Jesus began to tell his second parable, his second story. He told a story about a man who was throwing a great banquet, and so he sent out the RSVPs, he received them back, and he began making preparations for this great party. Finally, the day had come, everything was set and in order, the food was prepared, the tables were arranged, and so he sent his servant out to those guests who had been invited to tell them that everything was ready so they could now come and enjoy this feast with him. The servant went out and came back. But he came back not with those invited guests. Instead, he came back with regrets. Now, some people pointed to their jobs. Yeah. Sorry, I know we were invited, but it's just been a crazy week at work. We've been slammed, and I've got to do a little more work tonight. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sorry. Others pointed to circumstances beyond their control. You know about that new couch we told you about last week that we found this great deal at the store. Well, we got it, but the store called us back and they told us the only night they could deliver it to us this week was this night. We won't be able to come after all. We're sorry. Others pointed to last-minute engagements that came up. You know, we had every intention of coming, but we just heard from our son's soccer coach and the game got rescheduled for this night. There's just no way we can come. Maybe next time. We're sorry. The master, the host of the party, heard all of these excuses. What was he to do? Everything was prepared. The venue was rented, the tables were set, the food was made. So he sent his servant out into the streets of the city with simple instructions. Invite everyone you meet. Bring in the homeless and the poor and the blind and the crippled. And they came. These people, they came in humility because they knew they had no reason to be proud that they were there. They were there simply because of the grace of the invitation that was extended to them. When you hear that story of Jesus, one of the questions that you can kind of ask yourself is, who am I in this story? Am I like those guests who were invited first but then only sent excuses? Or am I like that second set of guests that had no reason to expect an invitation and yet are now sitting at the table in God's kingdom? See, as baptized children of God, you are like those who were invited last. Those who had no reason to expect an invitation and yet received one anyway. That's grace. See, grace is knowing that you deserve the least seat and being given a place of honor instead. Grace is knowing that you have no reason to expect an invitation and yet receiving one all the same. And when you understand that, you realize there's no room for pride. What do you have to be proud about? Your seat at the table in God's kingdom, it's not because of who you are or who you knew or what you did. It's all because of God's grace, because of the mercy of God for you in Jesus Christ. And so in this parable Jesus tells, you and I as children in God's kingdom are like those who were invited last. But you're not just like those who were invited last. You're also like the servant of the master himself, the one who was sent out to go and invite others to this great feast. Now, typically when you throw a party, it's only the host who has the authority to invite people, right? So if Jamie and I throw a party later today and we invite this first row, so the Goltzes and the Van Gilders, yeah, right, you guys won, and they decide that they're going to, you know, after the service, just go and invite everybody else. And so, you know, 6 o'clock rolls around, and we're expecting the Goltzes and the Van Gilders. And then the whole rest, everybody else here, the 200 or so of us that are here, you all show up. Well, I'm sorry, but you guys are all uninvited guests. You're going to have to go home. The dinner has been prepared only for those guests who have been invited. And it's the same in God's kingdom. In this way, only God has the authority to invite people. And yet, like the master with the servant, he's given that authority to you and to me. And so it's really more like the case where I invite the Goltzes and the Van Gilders and I tell them, look, we're going to have this party over at our house at 6 o'clock tonight, and we aren't, so please don't show up. I'll have a hard time finding food for everybody. But I say to them, go and invite everyone that you can think of. The more the merrier. We've got plenty of room. And they go and do that. That is how you and I are in the kingdom of God as well. We're like that servant of the master who've been deputized, given the authority to go out and extend this invitation. There is room in God's kingdom. The feast has been prepared. The seats are empty and waiting. So invite everyone that you can. We're called to extend God's grace in unlikely places to unlikely people. And you can see reflections of that all around the extension of God's unexpected grace, if you just look. I was reminded of that in this story of Dana Olson, and this happened just this past January. See, last January, it was to have been her wedding day. And I say it was to have been her wedding day because in the months that were leading up to her wedding, her fiancé had gotten cold feet and called the thing off. So she decided not to go and cancel all of the plans that she'd made. She decided not to kind of recover what money she could that she'd put into this event. Instead, she just changed one thing with her plans. And the one thing she changed was her guest list. She decided to go ahead with the wedding reception anyways, but instead of inviting her friends and her family, she invited the residents of Mary's Place. It's a homeless shelter in Seattle, Washington. The homeless shelter for mothers and their children. And so when the big day came, earlier in the day, Dana sent hairstylists and makeup artists out to the home to get the guests ready for the big event that evening. And while they were getting ready, Dana's mother and some of the bridal party went to the reception hall and set it up just as they were planning to have done for the wedding itself. Big flower centerpieces and candles on the table. And so when the three school buses pulled up to the event that night, when the mothers and their daughters and their sons got off the buses and entered the hall, they saw this hall as it was to have been for Dana's wedding. Nice centerpieces on the table, candles flickering in the back, the DJ and the dance floor overhung with Christmas lights. After that event, someone had asked two of the people who had come from Mary's Place, these twin sisters, Rebecca and Sarah. And these twin sisters had come from New York, and they were at Mary's Place because they'd come from New York with the promise of a job and a place to stay, and neither of which had panned out. And so they found themselves, you know, literally as far away from home as they could get on this continent, with nowhere to go. And Mary's Place had given them a little bit of breathing room as they were able to look for jobs and a place to stay. And they were asked what this night, what this invitation meant for them. And they said it was first and foremost a reminder that they hadn't always been in need. But second, they said it was a reminder of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. They said it was a reminder to them that Jesus had promised never to leave them or forsake them. This night was a reminder that he was caring for them, even in times and places where they thought maybe he wasn't. At this dinner party, Jesus said, when you throw a banquet or a feast, don't invite your friends or your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. When you throw a feast or a great banquet, invite the homeless and the poor and the crippled, and then you'll be blessed because they can't repay you. You'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. See, pride blinds us. It blinds us from admitting our physical needs to one another so that we can take care of each other. But even worse, it blinds us from confessing our spiritual need before God and receiving the blessings that he wants to give of forgiveness and grace and mercy. In humility, we see ourselves as God sees us. In humility, we see that we are all equally blessed to have been invited to have a seat at the table in God's kingdom. And we can only really accomplish this. We can only really humble ourselves in the presence of God and others because we know that Jesus Christ humbled himself first. And this is how Paul put it in his letter to the Philippians. He said this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's knowing that we can humble ourselves in the presence of God and others, because God himself in Christ humbled himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.